Paul writes these words, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you to not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in a portion in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." God's word from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. You may be seated. Thank you. Well, I'm so glad that you have been able to be a part. We knew that with the colder weather that our numbers would be fewer. And actually, I was chomping at the bit because I hadn't seen you all, some of you all, in a whole 2 weeks now. And so I'm really glad that you're here this morning and brave the cold. I know that some are truly homebound because of the cold weather this morning. But I really believe, even though our numbers are fewer, and thank you so much for your commitment to the Lord and to the Lord's church here. But maybe even though a smaller group, that we can have the greatest impact on our community. And so I'm very thankful for you all being here this morning. Those of you that have been with us the last few weeks, you remember we've been talking about this. We've been in the midst of this study together about your part matters and how we've all been called to play a part in the body of Christ, and as a part of the engine that represents that here this morning as well. And I think Gus has really laid this out very well for us, the spiritual and scriptural background of all of this, how we are a part of Christ's body. And there are many, many parts, and though all its parts are many, there's still just one body, and the body has the same purpose, and it works together for the same good. I love this because this is important for us to remember. If you remember a couple weeks back, that Gus even reminded us that your part someday may need to be replaced, and that it will be replaced. And I think that this is very important for us to remember because it's important to know that Jesus will return. Christ will return. And if he doesn't return in the next 10 years or 100 years or another 1,000 years, that the ongoing story of salvation and the ongoing story of his church will continue even way past our own lifetimes. Well, as we begin the study of our portion of the scripture this morning, I want to take just a second and I want to go back a few verses before our passage comes into play. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Christian church in Rome, and we know that the church in Rome has many followers of Jesus, and some who are Gentiles. And if you're not familiar with that term, the Gentile label was just for those who were not of non-Jewish nationality, and so there were Gentile believers that had come to know Jesus later on. And then also we know about the church in Rome that some of the Jewish Christians had been returning. They had been actually forced out of Rome some years before by Claudius, and they were returning back to Rome, but they were returning to find the church much different than it was when they had left before. And we read some of this too in the middle and the end of chapter 11, where Paul addresses this conflict that the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians had of working together. But then he ends that thought by sharing these words, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." And then in the beginning of our chapter 12, he says these words, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And I thought this was an important thing to note here this morning, because even throughout history, there has been division. There's been division in the body of Christ. But despite all of that, whether that was because it was Jewish or Gentile, whether it was because men or women, whether it was because you were baptized by Apollos or Cephas or whoever, there was division throughout history in the church. And despite all that, though, the church, Jesus' followers, his body, have figured out all along the way how to make this all work out and for the church to survive. And it's sad to say that, and I know that there is division in Christ's body still today, but just like history has proven, the days that we're living in today and the days to come will also show that his body, just like in the past, his body will survive, and Christ, and his body will succeed. And his body, the church, will continue to work. And his body, the church, will continue to grow and continue to complete the job that we've been given of reaching out and bringing in the lost to him. But it's only by the grace of God. As Gus has been laying out for us these past weeks, and as Paul reminds us even here this morning, we remember that we've not all been given the same exact job to do. That we've been called to carry out that one purpose in different ways. We have gifts that differ, Paul writes, according to the grace that's given to us. And you know, there's a perfect picture of that even here this morning. As I look around in the room here this morning, I know that there are some of you that are numbers people. And you do well with numbers, and you do well with finances. But I also know that there is strong evidence that there are some in this room that should absolutely not have anything to do with numbers and church finances. And I also know in this room there are some very, very creative people in here, very creative minds. I've seen some of you do some of your amazing work. And then there are some of us in this room that even though we search for on Pinterest, you know, and we watch the videos over and over and over again, the expectation of what the project is going to look like and then the reality of what the project ends up looking like could make one of the hundreds of pages of Pinterest fails. But you know what? It's okay for us to be different, because that's what we've been called to do. We've been given different gifts. We've been given different tasks to do according to the grace that's given to us. Paul says, whatever the gift is that you've been given, to do it by the grace of God, to do it with humility and with sober judgment. He reminds us back in verse 3 of our passage this morning that we should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. You may have heard this before, and we were actually talking about this in staff just a few weeks ago, but it's very poetic. There's this thought that where our passion and God's calling intersect, that's where we need to live, right? Where our passion, where what we want to do and what God wants us to do, wherever that intersects, that's where we should be working. And you know, that's very poetic, and it sounds like a great idea, but I would say in many cases, that can't even prove to be true. In the book of Luke, chapter 10, Jesus tells this story. He begins this way: a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan all walk into a bar. That's a joke, obviously. No, but actually, if you know the story, you know that there's no way that even punchline could be true, because the priest and the Levite were already way ahead. They're way, way ahead of the Samaritan. See, here's the problem with that thought where my passion and God's calling intersect, is that I think that we're thinking, I think Paul would say, whoa, 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 you're thinking pretty highly of yourself right there. Because if I put my passion and God's calling on the same level, I'm making my passion and God's passion equal. And you know that they're not equal. Think about this story that I just mentioned. The priest and the Levite, being working in the temple, they would have absolutely had a passion for the Jewish people, right? They would have absolutely had a passion for the Jewish people. But when they come into contact with this man who was beaten and left half dead on the side of the road, their own schedules, their own calling, their own passion superseded what God had called them to do, and he had given them a clear calling. But the Samaritan man, and Jesus is very clear about this point, to make this point that this man was a Samaritan, but this Samaritan man would have had nothing to do with the Jewish man that was beaten and left half dead. But when his calling and his schedule and his passion collided with God's that day, he absolutely obeyed. And he gave in to God's calling. You see what I'm saying? Our calling and God's calling cannot be on an equal plane. There's a scripture that I love, and it makes a great print piece for your living room. If you would post this scripture on your social medias, I bet you'd get hundreds of likes on it. But I think it's a passage that many of us misunderstand. And it's a passage that many of us often misquote, and it's a passage that many of us mispost on many, many times in many of our social medias. It's in Psalm chapter 37, verse 4, King David writes these words: "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And I think we read that sometimes and we think, well, so if I delight myself in the Lord, then he'll give me what I want? He'll give me the desires of my heart? Do you think that's what that passage means? Because I think, again, Paul would say, whoa, 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 you're thinking pretty highly of yourselves. You need to think with sober judgment and humble judgment. What that passage means instead of that is it means this, that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, that our desires and our passions will be the ones that move, not God's, but it's our desires that will move, and they're the ones that are going to line up with God's calling in our lives, not the other way around. Because if we delight ourselves in the Lord, we will want what He wants. And if we delight ourselves in the Lord, our desires will look more and more like His every day. And you may, some of you may be thinking this month, some of you may have been thinking these past weeks as we've been talking about this, well, listen, I really don't like being up in front of people. Right? Look, this is all good, but I really don't want to take time away from my family. Or, you know, that's really not my thing, right? That's really not my place to go into those places and reach out to those people. But Paul reminds us today it's by God's grace. And according to the different gifts that you have been given, you must use them. We must use them. And it's by God's grace that He's allowed each one of us to play a part in this great big story of His church and this great big story of His salvation on the earth. So Paul reminds us that we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And if that passage is meant for you this morning, if that message is meant for you this morning, then hear it. Hear it with your ears and hide it deep in your hearts. Don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought. Because I think when we think of ourselves more highly than we ought, it's going to distract our focus, and it's going to keep us from doing the thing that God has called us to do, because I put myself on the same plane with God. Hear that message and hide that message deep in your heart. I really loved I really, really love the video that Gus showed us a few weeks ago. If you were here a couple of Sundays ago, it feels like an eternity ago, just like Amy's 2 years in the mission team. It felt like a long time ago that we were together, but I love the video that Gus showed. And I don't know about you, but if you remember, it was a video of some little ducks leaving the nest and learning how to fly. And it was all so cute and graceful and all that stuff, right? Even the ducks that fell flat into the leaves, it was cute and it was graceful. And the whole time I was thinking about that, I was thinking about this video instead. And maybe you'll agree with me on this. Stop. See, yeah, that's more like it for me. I didn't feel like the little graceful ducklings learning how to fly. I felt more like that. And so I want to present this to you too, because Paul tells us we shouldn't think more highly of ourselves than we ought, but I want to also present it this way, if I might, for us to also not think too lowly of ourselves. That we should not sell ourselves short of God's plan. That we should just look at what God has blessed us with, and realize that He has given us a purpose and He has given us a part to play in this story. He has given us a part to play in His plan of salvation. So let's look back at two verses from last 2 weeks ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I got a chance to listen in, Gus, on the church membership class this morning. And you actually used some of these verses in the membership class. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 15 and 16, Paul writes these words. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Folks, listen, there's no part of the body that truly has no purpose. There's no part of this engine up here that truly has no purpose. There's not a single person in this room this morning that truly has no purpose. Every one of you in here, every one of us in here was created with a purpose. All of the parts of Christ's body matter. I got to do a wedding a couple Saturdays ago for Megan Fracker and Derek Lee, Megan Lee now and Derek Lee. And it was such a great time together. And I got to share this. We have this little plaque in our home. And some of you in our life group may have seen this plaque too. I'm not going to ask you to tell where the plaque is, but if you haven't seen it yet, maybe tonight at the life group, you can search it out. But we have this plaque in our house. And I mentioned it in the wedding, and I want to mention it here this morning as well. But it says this. It says, if better is possible, good is not enough. If better is possible, good is not enough. And you know, we keep that hanging in a prominent place in our home. It probably has become, we've become complacent to it, and we don't even notice it anymore. It doesn't even make much of a difference anymore. It doesn't cause us to do anything different because we've gotten used to seeing it. Paul said to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. But I think if we live with this thought that we think of ourselves more lowly than we ought to, we might just settle for good instead of striving for better. We might just settle for good instead of striving for God, what God really wants from us. If you're a Facebook user, you might recognize this term. But I received a memory this week on my Facebook page that I posted 7 years ago this last week, and actually the reason I even had the ability to post this post. You guys familiar with Facebook memories? Anyone that uses Facebook, I'm not going to ask, raise hands. But so the whole reason I even got to post this post was this past week was the 7 year anniversary of my mom's hearing from the doctor, her diagnosis of her late stage of pancreatic cancer. And so Heather and I and the kids, we hustled home to my mom and dad's house to be with her and be with them for that. And actually, I saw this Facebook memory, and so you got to know that this, I'm getting all kinds of emotion on this thing when Facebook reminded me of this picture last week, because I loved my mom. But you know, I didn't realize how much I loved my mom until it was almost too late. And I love my grandpa. That's my grandma and grandpa Spangler. My grandma Spangler is still alive. My grandpa has passed now, but I love my grandpa. And listen, and I know that I wasn't the best grandson, you know. I wasn't the surest shot, you know. And I was the one that was always making so much noise in the boat when everyone else was trying to fish, and I was scaring off the fish and stuff. And I know there were a lot of times that I frustrated my grandfather. But Grandpa Spangler would always say to me, he'd always say, "Jeffrey Allen, I don't think that you're ever going to amount to a hill of beans. I don't think you're ever going to amount to a hill of beans." And I know that was a generational thing. I know that there was some hope that he would motivate me by saying that. But I wear that. I still wear that statement in my heart. I still wear that statement in my mind. Actually, it was Heather and I had just moved into town, and we had begun our ministry here at Licking Valley shortly before my grandpa passed away. And I hate it because I want to show him. I want to show him, doggone, that I did amount at least to a hill of beans. Right? I want to show him the kind of family that we've raised. And I want to show him this incredible community that we get to serve in ministry with for 26 years. I want to show him that I amounted to a hill of beans. But you know what the true story of all of this is? It's only by the grace of God that I can even say that. It's only by the grace of God that any of us can say that we have a purpose in Christ's body and that we have a part to play in Christ's body. Only by the grace of God. There's not any of us that should think more lowly of ourselves than we ought to. There's not anyone that should think lowly of ourselves at all. Because God has given us gifts too, according to his grace that we need to be using for him. And you know, that promise is for all people. All human beings created in God's image have intentionally been given a purpose by him. And all human beings created in God's image have intentionally been given different gifts according to his grace to be used for his glory. And you know what? Some of you may be aware of this. But today is actually the day many of our churches in our area. Last Sunday was actually the official National Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And many of our churches in our community, because of the bad weather last week, are going to be celebrating the sanctity of human life. And I want to tell you that every part of the body matters. I watched a video a few weeks ago, and it really broke my heart. The boy's name is Andrew, and he was born with Down syndrome. And he appeared on a show called The Greatest Dancer. It's kind of like The X Factor or America's Got Talent. And if any of you guys binge on that, those shows are amazing. But anyway, this boy, Andrew, was on a show called The Greatest Dancer. He was a very strong, very smart boy, but he struggled severely with doing things that most of you and I would take for granted. His mom said that he was terribly flat-footed, and so he would most of the time clomp around as he would move from place to place. But on this episode of The Greatest Dancer, he did a short interview with the judges. If you're familiar with the way the shows are set up, he did this interview with the judges, and the music began. And his body softened up from this rigid body that he had had before, and the way that he carries himself, and he danced this beautiful dance. A young man with a gift and a purpose that many people in our world today wouldn't have even given him a chance to have. Many of you know the name Jordan Spieth. If you don't know who Jordan Spieth is, Jordan Spieth is a pro golfer on the PGA Tour. For 4 years in a row, from 2014 to 2017, he was ranked in the top 10 golfers in the world. And in 2015, he actually was the number one ranked golfer in the world. He was also named in 2016 to Time's 100 Most Influential People. And in that magazine, Time said about Jordan, he was someone who exemplifies everything that's good about sports. Well, if you've ever had a chance to watch Jordan after a tournament, he always refers to the team. He always refers his success to as we and our team. And of course, that's unusual in golf because golf is an individual sport. But he was always quick to point out the we and his team, his parents, his caddy, his coaches, his advisor, everyone that influenced him somehow in his golf game. But he would always point out his key inspiration, the number one inspiration in his life was his sister Ellie, who lives with autism. And he always goes to her first to hug her after he wins a match. In one interview, Jordan said, "I try to get back home all the time to be with her to regroup. She sets everything into perspective for me. She's so happy for the littlest of things. And Ellie," many would argue, "a person with a disability, teaches him and grounds him with a gift that no one else shares with him. It keeps him focused on the what's real in life and what's important in life instead of his own spotlight." A girl with a gift that many people in our world today wouldn't have even given her a chance to have. And you may or may not know the name Nick Vujicic. I don't have a picture of Nick this morning, but you need to seek him out, and you need to search him out. Nick Vujicic was born in 1982 with a condition called tetraamelia, which means his arms and his legs weren't fully developed. Gus, I heard you talk about a friend or a family member of yours this morning. So after Nick was born, his mother didn't want anything to do with him. She didn't want to look at him. She didn't want to hold him because he was so deformed. Not only that, but throughout his childhood, besides the typical challenges of being a teenage boy in school and adolescence and all that, he struggled with great depression, he struggled with loneliness, and even attempted suicide. Nick constantly wondered why he was different than all the other kids. He questioned the purpose of life, or if life even had a purpose. According to Nick, his victory over his struggles, as well as his strength and his passion for life today, can be credited to his faith in God. His family, his friends, and the many people he's encountered along the way have also inspired him to carry on. He had his first speaking engagement at age 19 and now has traveled around the world speaking and sharing his story with millions and millions of people, sometimes packing stadiums out to capacity. Nick Vujicic has accomplished more than most people achieve in their lifetimes. He's an author, a musician, an actor. He loves hobbies including fishing, painting, and swimming. In 2005, he began an international nonprofit ministry called Life Without Limbs. Nick says this: "Don't believe the lie that you're not good enough. Don't believe the lie that you're not worth anything." He says, "It's hard to think about the fact that I don't have hands to hold my wife's hand. But when it's time, I'll hold her heart. I don't need hands to hold her heart. If God can use a man without arms and legs to be his hands and feet, then he will certainly use anyone who's willing to follow." His story is amazing. But it's, sadly, it's a story that many people wouldn't have even given him a chance to write. I read this report that last year, a Republican state representative from Utah, Carrie Ann Lisenby, introduced a bill that would make it a crime for a doctor to perform an abortion if a woman is seeking one solely because the fetus has Down syndrome. In recent years, she said there's been a shocking increase in abortion performed for no other reason than because a prenatal test identified the potential for a trait that one of the parents didn't like. Now our abortion rates of those with Down syndrome are nearing 90%, and with the prejudice and mistreatment of many that have special needs, the world we live in has become increasingly adoptive of a distorted view of those who are disabled or differently abled. Young men, young women with gifts that may be different than ours and with purposes that may be different than ours, but still that many people in our world today wouldn't have even given them a chance to have. And church, I want to remind you today, this morning, that all the parts matter. I don't know how to say this any other way, but we are so incredibly blessed. And that you and I have little to zero excuse to not be using the gifts that we've been given on purpose and by God's grace to use for His glory. And listen, if you don't know what your gifts are, then come and join us. Come walk with us. We'll walk on that journey with you. We can figure it out. We can plug you in and we can begin building His kingdom together. Or maybe you're brand new to all this and you didn't even know that there was such a thing. You didn't even know what this feeling in your heart was. You just knew that there was a hole there. But there's something that you've been missing out on. It's Jesus. Jesus is calling you. And we want to help you to begin that journey too. Come and let's walk on that journey together. We'd love to help you to begin to know more about Him and to believe in Him and follow Him more closely. Whatever your decision is this morning, we want to start this conversation with you. I'm going to be in the back this morning following this service. And we want to do more than just have you come. We want to start this conversation. We want to build this into this relationship of church. That's what we're here for. We've all been given a purpose with different gifts, and it's by the grace of God. We need to own it. We need to own it like a badge of honor, because we've been called and we've been completed and we've been commissioned by the King of all kings. Would you stand together with me?